Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's. Back in town.
On the Fan.
McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we got you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Still fighting it a little bit, but I'll be okay. Still coming to terms with what's going on with our football teams. We're going to get a lot to the baseball later in the show as we are down to the final six, the last week of the season. The Mets on the outside, looking in, wondering what Cincinnati is going to do, because that will dictate their playoff chances as much as what they do against the Chicago Cubs. The Yankees looking to solidify that top wild card spot, still with a prayer of winning the division. But we are still on trying to figure out how to fix these franchises and what's best with these two lousy football teams that are now 0-3 each, respectively. One worse than the other. I was just watching SNY, that's why I said that, because they're like, who's 0-3 is worse? I mean, that's where we are. Whose disaster of a season is most disastrous? I don't know. I guess the Giants would have to be more disastrous, right? It's a new regime with the Jets. We're just learning about Glenn. I haven't loved what I've seen, but it is three games, and we could yell about his clapping. Ultimately, we're just getting underway with the regime of Aaron Glenn. And by no means are we making any declarative statements just yet. With the New York Giants, this is year 4 of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and we have tons of evidence. And if we don't have evidence, we'll make it up in Indianapolis if we have to. And we'll get to Daniel Jones a little bit, because I am tired of the narrative of Daniel Jones. Not because I've never thought Daniel Jones was a great quarterback, not because I'm not impressed with what he's doing, but because we're just making stuff up. Even in the clip right there from Slayton, I don't think Daniel Jones ever was given a chance. He played 6 years here. He got a second contract. He was making $40 million a year. Oh, he never really got a chance. Never got a chance. Okay. But we'll do that later. Let's talk about the current quarterback situation, because it's all the rave. What should the Giants do? And I understand, and I've been thinking about this a lot, because even me, the fan in me, without thinking too much about it, without really getting too deep into it, just on the surface of what I want as a fan, and clearly what Giant fans want out at MetLife Stadium already, week number 3, understanding the season is over and how bad they are after that loss to the Cowboys, as they were losing to the Kansas City Chiefs that everybody knew they would, the boos already, the toxic environment that the fan base has now created in that building. And I understand why. I mean, hell, last year they won one game there, and we were pissed that they won it. That's how bad it's been. That's how ugly it's been. And so when you have the shiny new toy and the promise of a rookie quarterback, well, what the hell are we waiting for? And even I, as a fan, fall into that trap on some level. And if it happens, and if you haven't heard, as we've talked about all day here on The Fan, and you just heard in the clip there at the update, Brian Daboll is noncommittal about who his quarterback's going to be. Same thing happened at the end of week number one. After week number one, he was noncommittal after the game, but then Monday, committed to Russell Wilson. Today was Monday, or yesterday was, he did not commit to Russell Wilson. And it's leaving speculation, and what most people think is that the Giants are preparing to make the shift and go to Jackson Dart for this game against the Chargers. Especially in a building, as I just said, had a feel of a little bit of a toxic fan base that's fed up. And if we're going to lose anyway, which everyone expects them to, and who wouldn't, against the San Diego, happens every once in a while, against this Los Angeles Chargers team that has played extremely well in the first 3 weeks, that has won three consecutive divisional games, that's defense is one of the best in the league, and they're led by one of the great coaches in this league. Would have looked nice in a Jet or Giant sideline, but unfortunately that didn't happen, and now he's with the Chargers. And you have every expectation of this, him taking the Chargers where they want to go, and this is a dangerous team, and they're playing extremely well, and they're coming off three straight divisional wins before they come in to kick the tail of the New York Giants. So obviously, if you're going to lose that game anyway, well, then what are we doing? Why throw Russell Wilson out there? Why have an atmosphere in a building and a fan base that's fed up and booing everything? And then we'll throw Jackson Dart out there just to run some RPOs, and he'll get cheered and then booed as Russ comes back on. It's become a toxic environment, and rightfully so, because they are toxic. This franchise, this organization is toxic. And the fan base, this is why I get on the Yankee fans sometimes, because sometimes Yankee fans act like they're Giant fans. Like it's the same thing. Like there should be the same level of hate of the organization and the GM and the coach as there is for this Giants team. I don't get it with the Yankee fans. I understand it. My Giant fan hat, I understand it. And so I'm thinking about it, and I wake up to the news as I, you know, take my slumber in the afternoon, and I wake up, and I see the press conference, and I see his decision to be noncommittal, and I understand the speculation around it, and a part of me goes, yeah, why not? Why not? What are we doing? Let's just see. We're going to lose games anyway. Let's just see the quarterback. Let's let him play. But the more I think about it, I don't think it's a good idea. The more I think about it, I don't like the reasoning behind it. And I know that it's hard to trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane in anything right now and in any decision. And I can tell you till we're blue in the face how he helped develop Josh Allen. I know I say it a lot and you all get mad at it. I could tell you till we're blue in the face that he did take Daniel Jones to the playoffs and win a road playoff game, turned Tommy DeVito into a name we knew, and he went out and beat a Green Bay Packers team in prime time. I could tell you all that, and how I could tell you, I still, at the only thing that I'm even remotely interested in listening to anybody tell me that Brian Daboll does well, is I'd still listen to the idea that he develops quarterbacks, or at least is good with quarterbacks. Not a quarterback whisperer, not the only or greatest man for the job, to develop a young quarterback. But everything else sucks. I'm still, at least this much part of me, thinks he could develop a young quarterback. They were kept. It's his decision and the GM's decision to draft Jackson Dart. He's their guy. And yes, the obvious elephant in the room is how well this quarterback plays is going to probably play a role. We'll see how much of a role, depending on how many games they win, but play a role in whether or not he's back as the Giants head coach. So obviously this is the decision that not only involves the team, not only involves the coach's future and the GM's future, involves the team's future, and involves whether or not we're talking about Jackson Dart as the future of the Giants with a possible regime change, with a possible coach change. This is a pivotal moment for the franchise. When they decide to go to Jackson Dart, it's a big decision for the entire franchise, not just the coach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
But the New York Giants. And I don't want that decision made simply because we don't want a toxic atmosphere at the stadium. We don't want Russell Wilson booed. We have nothing else to do. I'm trying to keep my job. I have to show this kid now. Like, all the reasons that people will tell you it's obvious and it has to be done aren't the reasons that they should make this decision. This decision should be based solely on whether or not it's best for Jackson Dart's development, which is the only thing that matters for the future of this franchise. That's it. And when I look at it and I say to myself, do I think off of these three games in this building that it felt like they haven't won a meaningful game in 3 years against a team and a defense that is as ferocious as any in the league at the moment? Do I want to throw Jackson Dart into that spot right now? Is there a better spot? Even next week, right? Oh, the Saints. Well, you go play him in New Orleans. That makes a lot of sense. Indoor track against a lousy team. You do that. 4 days later, you're playing the Eagles. Is that a spot we want to put this kid in? Like, I don't know when the best. I'll be the first to raise my hand. I don't know. And if he comes in and plays well and wins the game and beats the Chargers, then obviously it's the greatest thing ever. And away we go as New York Giant fans, and we'll take anything. Let's be honest. The minute they make this move, I do think the toxicity inside the fan base in the building shifts. It might still be on Brian Daboll. It clearly will be. It might still be on Joe Shane. It clearly will be. And it still will be on John Mara. But as far as the losing, we'll all understand. Because we expect to lose with rookie quarterbacks. We did it with Eli Manning, and that team had a chance. That team was 5-4. That team had shown some moxie early on in the season. This team has shown you nothing. So it feels like an easy transition. And a part of me understands that, and a part of me won't mind if it happens, but all I care about is what's best for this kid. And there was a plan for him for a reason. There was a plan for him for a reason. And you hear the teammates talk about it, and you hear whether I think some of the statements from some of the teammates, like Slater, are a little misguided. Slayton, rather. But we have seen quarterbacks step in here. We've seen it with Daniel Jones. We've seen it with other guys. You step in too soon against good defense because quickly, the other thing about this fan base that I do agree that we understand losing, but here's the issue. No one has faith in anything Shane and Dable have done. Anything. Right now, we're ready to get off the Abdul Carter train because they picked him and it's probably going to be wrong. Right? Nothing they do, right? Even now, revisionist history. It sounds like, well, the way people talk, that they gave Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, just said, here, why don't you take him? Or let's trade with, they didn't trade with the Eagles. He signed as a free agent. Like, everything is wrong with Dable and Shane. If he comes in and struggles against one of the better defenses in the NFL, we're talking about a weekend. Sure, we'll tolerate the losses, and no one's going to say, you know, bench him, but everyone is going to wonder whether or not, like, we're going to be ready to deem this kid a failure 2 weeks in because he's associated with the stench of Shane and Dable. This kid should not play until he is absolutely ready. I don't know how Shane and Dable feel about it. I don't know. But let's be honest. You can't say with one breath, wins and losses don't matter, so play the kid. And then tell me, oh, I got to play the kid no matter what about his development. The whole reason you go to him is to develop him. And if the plan was to give him time, which we have seen beneficial to different quarterbacks, you're going to thrust him into this situation? You're going to thrust him into this spot against this team off of 0-3 where there's still somewhat of a hope he could save the season and put that pressure on him? And then turn around, play a lousy, to be fair, a lousy Saints team, and then throw him right into the gauntlet of 3 days off into Eagles, Denver Eagles? And let him start through that? And what happens if he struggles? What happens if he does what normal rookie quarterbacks do? Sure, we'll wait, no, but we'll watch and we'll understand that losses happen. But if he plays particularly bad, this fan base could get toxic around him. We've seen it. God knows I'm toxic about Daniel Jones, right? Like, we've seen it. They'll handle the losing, but no one will believe in him. And we'll take call after call after call about how they got this wrong. They don't know how to develop. They have no idea how to scout players. They have no idea what they're doing. Everybody who leaves goes great. Everyone who comes in sucks. Jackson Dart's just add him to the list of miserable players that these two thought were good. This isn't about winning anymore. I agree. They have no chance of competing for a playoff spot. They're done. The season's over again before October. It's miserable. But I don't want to make the same mistakes we've seen made in the past. And until Andrew Thomas can play a full game, I don't want to put him behind this offensive line against a team like the Chargers. I don't want to put him in a spot to fail. We talk about all the time, coaches, it's about putting your players in a position to be successful. Are they putting Jackson Dart in a position to be successful? And why don't we care? Why don't we care to answer that question? It sounds like it doesn't matter. I don't care. Put him in there. I can't watch this anymore. It's not about us, amazingly enough. It's not about us for this Sunday. It's about us watching a competent football team, and that relies on the hopes and prayers that they have drafted the right quarterback. And giving him a chance to be successful and thrive and not put him into a tough spot where his confidence gets dragged early because he's playing a really good Chargers defense that completely shut down, Geno Smith, gave Patrick Mahomes one hell of a time. And, of course, Bo Nix, second-year quarterback, had a miserable first half. This is a difficult defense. with a good defensive backfield. I don't think this is the time. I would stick with Russell Wilson. I would play it out, and I would make the switch when I was comfortable. I would make the switch when I know Jackson Dart is ready. Or at least you get through the gauntlet of the Eagles twice and the Chargers, and you give them some time. If you want to put him in there because they believe inside the room and Brian Daboll truly believes he's ready to go, then okay. I don't think he's there yet. I doubt they feel that strongly about it in that manner just yet. But you can't throw him out there because this is all I have to save my job. You can't throw him out there because, well, now at 0-3, there's no points. So let's just throw him to the Wolves. I don't want to do that. We've seen quarterbacks here be thrown to the Wolves. They get eaten. This is not about next week. And it's not about, trying to get back into the season. It's not about anything other than the development of the quarterback. And as much as we think that these two guys running the organization have no clue, and I understand why we think that, they're in the room with them. They, I still think Daboll understands quarterback play, if anything. And I'm not making decisions based on anything other than what's best for Jackson Dart. And I have a tough time thinking that throwing him into the fire now with a rabid fan base that still believes the season could be saved, probably somewhere deep down inside them if they win this game against San Diego, or L.A., rather. I don't want to put, you have to be the savior. I don't want to put anything on him other than let's go out there and start your career and try and be the best quarterback we can be. And I still don't know if Andrew Thomas is going to be on a snap count. You're going up against a very difficult opponent, and then you hit the gauntlet of New Orleans 3 days later after that game, Philadelphia, Denver, and their defense, who's starting to play better, although it hasn't been as great as we thought it could be, but like on paper, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they were last year. So you're talking about in his first four NFL games, you're going to throw him against the 3-0 Chargers with a great coach, a great quarterback, and one of the best defenses to start the year. The Eagles twice, once on a three-day rest period. And the Denver Broncos, and make them fly out to Denver? That's the first four games you want to give this kid? Not me. Hold off. Let's hold our nose and watch Russell Wilson another few weeks, because it's not about the next few weeks. It's about the next few years. And I want to put this kid in a position to come out and build confidence, not get it throttled by playing four games against three of the tougher defensive teams in the NFL in his first 4 weeks. I don't think the schedule is right for it. I don't think the timing's right for it. And that just because they're 0-3 doesn't change all of that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we'll start with Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. We'll take your calls on the Jets as well, and Aaron Glenn, and what's going on there, and whether or not he's going to fix this defense that's been putrid the first couple weeks, whether or not they have a better chance if they stick with Tyrod Taylor. And then, of course, we will get to the Mets today. We will get to the baseball today, because the final six games start right now. What do the Mets have to do to avoid this disaster of epic proportions, get back into the playoff race, get back into the final wild card, and give themselves a chance, believe it or not, which they have, of being dangerous in the postseason? How do they avoid what will be one of the more epic fails we have? I mean, this is, like, let's be honest, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets and the collection of talent they had, and how much it blew up in their face, and they won one playoff series. I mean, you are talking about the highest payroll in the sport, adding Juan Soto to a team that went to the NLCS, being firmly in the playoff picture every day of the season since April 5th. To find yourselves losing to the Cincinnati Reds and not being able to make a playoff structure with six teams. I know everybody's saying it, and I wish I had a contrary opinion. It's a disaster.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's a disaster.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ah, ha, ha. 228, McMonagle here with you on the fan. Ah! Thunder. Mm-hmm. All right. What'd I say? 228? I meant it. Right here on this Tuesday morning where we're still struggling to find out. And I just don't want to make rash decisions, man. That's it. It's only three games into the season. We act like if we don't see him now, we'll never see him or it's not enough time. Like 8 or 9 games, 9, 10 games is plenty to see a young quarterback. Plenty. And I don't want to put him in a spot. Like, and, you know, I'm getting on the chat, which, by the way, you can stream us live on YouTube. Go to YouTube right now, and you can see me live and in person. Then you can go on the comments and say rude things. So everyone, join in. It's a mob mentality. Join in. Very fascinating about why I switched chairs. I walk in at the beginning of the show, and I switch chairs, and everyone's like, oh, why is he switching chairs? I find one more comfortable than the other. It's really not. The other one has this high back. If you see the chairs, if you watch on TV, Evan and Tiki have the big leather chairs. I'm assuming that BT and Sal use them as well. But these big, high, like, you know, almost like board executive fancy leather chairs, they come forward. And I'm a very forward-leaning guy, and I feel them on my back. I just don't think the chair is comfortable. That's all. I prefer the other chairs in here. Why'd he switch to chairs? I like this one better. Very simple. But you can watch us on YouTube. And for me, it's just, I'm not, I don't want to put him in a tough spot. It's not about babying him. That's where I was going with it. I lost my train of thought. In the comments, I was like, oh, yeah, baby him. This is the NFL. Like, yeah. You want to build confidence. Confidence is important. Why do you think, let me ask you a question. Rhetorically, of course, because I'm not speaking to one person individually. But you can call me up and answer this question for me at 888-808-1019. Why do you think it's so hard to go 0-3 and then make the playoffs? Like, what is it strictly because only terrible, miserable teams who have no business in the playoffs go 0-3? Is it because mathematically, with only 17 games to play, 0-3 is tough to overcome? That's a big part of it, sure. And I'm sure a lot of it is that they're bad teams. And a lot of it is 0-3 is tough to recover from mentally. 0-3 creates negative momentum. You're looking for, like in the NFL, there are teams who aren't worthy of being 3-0 who will go on to have good years. There are teams that will, you know, believe that they are a good team strictly because they've won a couple games at the start of the year. Like, I want to build confidence with this kid. I don't want to have his brains beat in his first four starts. Especially if they made the decision to go out and sign quarterbacks to have him learn from, and he knew he was going to sit for a while. Now it's like, okay, a lot of momentum. When's he coming in? Oh, we chose this spot. Oh, great spot. He gets his ass kicked first week. So, like, it's different than just starting the year. You draft a young quarterback, he starts the year. Doesn't matter what the schedule is, he's starting the year. There's no speculation about when he's going to come in or what the best situation for him or why now, why not longer, what made this the right time. All that's going to come up. He's the quarterback. He started week one. They specifically chose to let this kid wait. They specifically chose to let him learn. They specifically chose to pick the spot to bring him in. And I don't think 0-3 or the fan base or job security or anything else should be more impactful in the decision to when to start Jackson Dart than what's best for Jackson Dart. And I think it's easy to tell me, well, it's 0-3, it doesn't matter. Oh, you know, we're tired of this as Giant fans. I just want to see the quarterback. Oh, they drafted him. They traded up to get him. You got to play him. Those aren't the answers to the question. Tell me why this is the spot for Jackson Dart. And if it's just, oh, as many games as possible, okay, I don't necessarily agree. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dave in Hawthorne. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I really wanted to debate you on certain things, sure. But unfortunately, I agree with everything you said. Why did the Giants sign Russell Wilson then? That's where I'm. And on top of that, why waste the money on that and Jameis Winston? We have two guys there. I just don't get it. I mean, Russell Wilson last week had one of the best weeks of any Giant quarterback in recent years.
Yes.
So and now Dave at the press conference, you know, is wishy-washy about who I'm going to start here.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth, I wouldn't be surprised if Jackson Dart starts this week.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, let me answer the first couple questions. One, free agency is before the draft. So as much as they probably knew they would attempt and wanted to and would, you know, have a good opportunity to get a quarterback in the NFL draft, they did not know that they for sure would be able to get a quarterback in the NFL draft. It's not like Jackson Dart was on the team and then they signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. They weren't sure. You can't be sure that the quarterback they want is going to be there. Jackson Dart might have been picked earlier in the draft for all they know. Like, you know, so you can't go into the season assuming 100% you're going to have a rookie quarterback because you don't know. Second, yeah, I think Jameis Winston signed so early on and for such a good deal in backup money that they had more money for a starting quarterback. They tried a couple different things. They kind of waited for Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson ended up just being the guy. And they wanted to give whatever quarterback they drafted a leeway and a little bit of a rope to start the year before going to him. So, like, I understand why they signed both of them, why they chose to make Jackson Dart the backup quarterback immediately and pretty much make Jameis Winston irrelevant. That I don't know. But I kind of understood why they signed both of them at the start of the year because you wanted to make sure you had a quarterback. Because Tommy DeVito is not one. And you had to have a quarterback and a backup quarterback. And although it was always likely, or at least it was probably their plan to draft a quarterback, you never know if you can get one. You couldn't be positive you were going to get a rookie quarterback. Because they obviously didn't feel like Shedeur Sanders was the guy. So I don't know who else they felt they had a top grade on. If Jackson Dart gets drafted earlier in the, someone trades up for Jackson Dart and takes him before they do, no guarantee you get one. What if, you know, Cleveland could have taken Jackson Dart with the second overall pick for all they knew? But they did come up with a plan. And there's no way 0-3 wasn't a scenario in that plan. Like, we all knew the schedule. Two road games, divisional road games to start the year, and then the Kansas City Chiefs. Even I didn't think they would lose all three. I thought there was a good opportunity to go win the first two games. I was very public about it, so I'm not trying to say, oh, we all knew 0-3, because I thought they'd be better. But, I mean, was 0-3 impossible? Like, it's not like they lost to the Tennessee Titans here. It's not like they lost to the Saints at the beginning of the year. They had three very difficult games to start the year. They had a process and a plan. And 0-3 had to somewhat be discussed at some point. And I just don't know. I mean, I feel positive that they're higher on him than I thought. One, because they called him quarterback two. Two, because we've already seen him on the field. So maybe they honestly believe he's ready. And if that's the case, then that's the case. And even if it's not, I'll be the first to admit, once it happens, and I do have a feeling, like you just said, I have a feeling they're going to do it. That Jackson Dart is going to be the starting quarterback this week. Once it happens, who cares what I think? Once it happens, it happens. And then I'll be excited to see Jackson Dart, and I hope he gets off to a good start. I'll say that I think it's a mistake. I'll say I'm nervous about how he's going to perform in these first four games against first five games against four very difficult defenses. It's going to scare me, but ultimately, we'll see Jackson Dart, and we'll see if this offense picks up. Because I, as much as you said, Russell Wilson had a great game too, and he did. That defense with Dallas is so bad, and we saw what the Bears and Caleb Williams did to him in the first half, particularly on Sunday. And they've played two decent defenses and done absolutely nothing. And Russell Wilson this last week, I'm sorry. Again, I didn't see a lot of wide receivers running open, but he did nothing but throw the ball 40 yards down the field in the double coverage or check down to the quarterback, to the running back. There was nothing in that pass game. And I can't imagine, as bad as Brian Daboll and Kafka have been, I can't imagine there were no intermediate routes. I can't believe that there wasn't a 10 or 15 yard route run that was somewhat open. Like, I don't know if he sees the field all that well, other than guys streaking wide open down. Like, he could throw that ball, no doubt. If somehow Slayton or Neighbors can get behind his defender and run straight down the field, Russell Wilson can get it to him with the best of him in the NFL. Outside of that, I don't know if he has a game right now. Walt in Oceanport. What's up, Walt?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I don't think, okay, because I do think the Chargers are possibly, like, one of the best teams, okay,
yeah,
in the NFL right now.
I agree.
And the way they played, okay, yes, we lost. We lost against the Chiefs, okay? We didn't get blown out, okay?
No.
It was 22-9, okay? We hung in there till overtime with the Dallas Cowboys, okay? I do not want to see Jackson Dart come in next week, okay, with against the Chargers. I want to see him, if they're going to play them, okay, let's go the following week, okay? Now we're into October 5th, okay, against the Saints, okay,
yeah,
if they choose to do so. I would, whether you play Russell Wilson, okay, or whether you play Jameis Winston, okay, either one of those guys, because collectively those guys have like 22 years in the NFL,
right,
combined experience. And I'd like to see any one of those guys. I mean, because Why do we have Russell Wilson? Because we need wins, okay? And anybody, and this whole concept, okay, of Giants making playoffs, okay, unless you're a brand new fan that's like onto the Giants, okay, no. If you've been watching the Giants for any length of time, there's no playoffs, okay? I mean, okay. You know, now we get into, you know, but I would like to see, I'd like to see Jameis Winston in there. I mean, you know, for next week's
for
game.
What purpose?
And if you want to play.
For what purpose?
Well, you know, just to have somebody different.
I mean, yeah, okay? If you're just tired of looking at Russell Wilson, I get it. I get it. And Jameis was brought in to be the backup. I mean, I guess I'm not opposed to that, but you just said it's not about the playoffs. So if it's not about winning football games anymore, there's really no reason, once you're going to take Russell Wilson out, to go to anybody else but Jackson Dart. Like, you're not trying to save the season. I mean, maybe you are. Maybe they feel like they have to. I don't know. I don't know. But the point about the Saints is, and here's my only point about the Saints, because I agree with you. On the surface, going up against the Saints is a hell of a lot better of a spot than the Chargers. I agree. But if you start him against the Saints, he then has to turn around and 4 days later, on Thursday Night Football, go back home to take on the Eagles. Then he has to fly out to the Broncos and play in Denver against that defense. And then he goes on the road to play the Eagles. So, I mean, you're talking about putting him through the gauntlet of playing a game 3 days, 4 days later, or whatever, yeah, October 5th to October 9th, 4 days later on a short week, playing the Eagles, then flying across the country to the Broncos, and they have one of the top defenses in the NFL, and then coming back to the East Coast and playing the Phillies on the Eagles on the road. Like, that's a tough spot. It just is. I would rather let Russ and or Jameis Winston, I suppose, get through that stretch and then let him start at home against the Niners. Then you got the Niners, the Bears, the Packers, the Lions, the Patriots, the Commanders, the Vikings, the Raiders, like, and then the Cowboys again. So, I mean, you're talking about, if you wait till then, he still has 9 games. He gets 9 games. That's more than enough for me, and you've avoided a really difficult stretch. But I get it. Once the season's dead, you do look to the future. I've been saying that for years. It's part of the case. But I just want what's best for the kid. And we've seen quarterbacks fail here. It's just plain and simple, right? We're going through. Everybody's ready to declare Daniel Jones the next great quarterback in the league. He's failed here. Obviously, Darnold. We've seen Geno Smith. Thrusting kids into this market, into this organization, into that kind of tough spot where you give him very little chance to be successful in the first 3 or 4 weeks he plays. Like, very little chance. It's just a tough spot, man. I don't want to put him in a tough spot. I want him to hit the ground after really having a half a season to get a grip on this offense, half a season of watching how the game is played, half a season of seeing how fast it is, half a season going after film, looking at the mistakes, seeing what can be done, you know, having real, you know, information being able to be processed with him and Dable. I'd rather see that and then put him in for the last 9 games of the year and see how it goes. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to start right. I think he's going to start this week. And if he does, I hope he plays well, but it's a tough spot. And he's going to give him some juice. There's no doubt about it. The crowd's going to get some juice. It's going to feel different. We're going to enjoy it a hell of a lot more. We're going to see what this kid can do. We're going to, I mean, if depending on how bad it goes, we'll see how it goes. But, like, that's the other thing, too. There's so much, like, I understand that the fan base would understand losing with a rookie quarterback. Like, a part of me understands that and agrees with that. But part of me says, we hate them so much. And we have so little faith in anything Brian Daboll or Joe Shane has done. So little faith. That if this kid comes in against the Chargers and doesn't play well, half the fan base is going to go, eh, forget this. This ain't it. Or we're going to already have this feeling like Jackson Dart isn't the guy. And we have seen from Anthony Volpe to a million other people, like, this kid's going to hear it. He's going to read the papers. He's going to hear it. He's going to know that nobody believes in him. It's tough to overcome all of that. Now, there's a chance they put him against the Saints. He doesn't play well against the Saints. Then we're really, I get it. There's no clean answer to this. There's no perfect answer to this. They're miserable. They're 0-4. They're 0-3, staring 0-4 in the face. They've been dreadful for 3 years. They've won 9 games in the last 2 seasons plus. It's been an out-and-out debacle. They win just enough games not to get the top pick, which wouldn't be, if it was Cam Ward and they had the number one pick, Russell Wilson wouldn't be here. Jameis Winston probably wouldn't be here. And they would have started Cam Ward from the jump. Now, does that make them better? I have no idea, but it's cleaner. It's cleaner. And right now, nobody's making it seem, what we've seen so far doesn't make me think that Abdul Carter had to be here. And right now, half the fan base is probably thinking, well, they don't know what they're doing. They drafted the wrong kid, too. Carter's going to be a bum. Like, that's where we are. Nothing's good. And let's be honest, looking at it, the biggest problem this defense has, I think, without question. If you look at the defense, which, again, didn't give up a ton of points to Kansas City, didn't give up a ton of points to Washington, disastrous in the second half against the Cowboys. But if you look at this defense, plain and simple, their best player is not playing like their best player. That's the problem right now. Dexter Lawrence has not been good. His PFF grade was in the 50s. Like, he just hasn't been good yet. I don't know. You know, he's coming off an injury. He had, you know, he went out and had a child a couple weeks ago. Congratulations to him. But, like, whether he's not in game shape, whether something's on his mind, whether it's just getting, you know, back from the injury that he's still dealing with and, you know, pushing through, whatever the case may be, Dexter Lawrence is not Dexter Lawrence right now. Or should I say, he's not sexy Dexy. He's just not. That's the biggest problem, because they haven't been able to stop the run against Washington. They haven't gotten the pass rush you were hoping for. And I think part of it is, one, Abdul Carter had to be put an inside linebacker after the McFadden injury. And Dexter Lawrence is getting no push and no pressures. And he's not helping you stop the run, which is what this dude has done for the last 2 years, as well as anyone in the NFL. They need Dexter Lawrence to come back and be sexy Dexy of the last 2 years. I fully expect it. I have no doubt to think we won't see it this week, next week, and for the rest of the year. But we haven't seen it yet, and it's been part of the problem. This defense hasn't been good enough, as well as Abdul Carter playing inside linebacker and not getting after it, and, you know, Burns being really the dominant force, and the defensive backs in Phillips and Newbin, guys who really hit the scene last year and were playing much better, haven't had, you know, Andrew Phillips got picked on against Kansas City last week, plain and simple. So there's been some issues, but offensively, there's no passing attack outside of guys running right down the field wide open. If they can scheme up a way to have wide receivers running free, then they don't need a quarterback change. But I don't think there's any doubt. If he was going to stick with Russell Wilson, he would have just said it. Like, what are they going over? He's giving you the, well, we're going to look at it, we're going to review the tape, where everything, you know, every position is under scrutiny right now, and we're going to make decisions. But, like, if they were going to stick with Russell Wilson, they would have just said so. I have a feeling we're going to see Jackson Dart. I think it's a mistake. Hopefully he plays through the mistake. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back, take your calls on the Giants, on the Jets. We will get to the baseball, though, because we got to talk about the New York Mets, because it starts tonight. Forget everything else. Like, honestly, we'll go over it, because it's remarkable. Right? We'll go over the slow collapse of being 17 games under 500 since June 13th. The pitching staff that has completely fallen apart. The bullpen, the trade deadline that wasn't. And how miserable. You know, I mean, I guess Rogers has been okay, but obviously Mullins is an out-and-out disaster. And Helsley, although, what, 2 good appearances here in his last 2, has been atrocious for the Mets and has killed them. You get to the starting rotation, it's a mess. The lineup, I mean, just everything. We'll get to Nimmo and everything else that's hampered this team. But forget all of that. Forget it. because that's in the past. They have six games, three against the Cubs, three against the Marlins, who are moving Sandy Alcantara back so that they can start him against the Mets. How do you find a way to win enough? And what's enough? Is 4-2 enough? Because we all know they're tied with Cincinnati. They have to be a game better than the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds, who are starting it off with a three-game set against Pittsburgh starting tonight, and then follow it up and end their season against Milwaukee, who very well might have nothing to play for. As opposed to the pesky Marlins, who amazingly enough, I don't know about maybe after the game last night with San Diego, who's now clinched a playoff spot. I don't know if Miami's been eliminated. I don't think they have. Like, they've been pesky, they've been good, and they have been the tormentor of the New York Mets in these end-of-game situations, these end-of-season games going back to 07 and 08. Forget everything else. Forget the collapse from the 13th. How does this team, because that's all that matters, how does this team, when they don't make it, and if they don't make it, we'll have plenty of time to go back and debate everything that went wrong, the mistakes from Stearns in this organization, and what they do moving forward with the core of this team. We'll have an entire offseason. There are six games. How are they one? How can they be one game better than the Cincinnati Reds for six games? They got Peterson on the mound tonight, who needs to freaking show up. This dude, for the first month, for the first, you know, I guess since going back since last year, all of last year and the first 3 months, 2.5 months of this season, the dude was as reliable a starting pitcher as you can find. He was as good a left-handed starting pitcher as you can find. He has been brutal since August. Since the beginning of August, you are looking at one of the worst pitchers in baseball who still takes the mound every 5 days. He's got to show up. This offense, Brandon Nimmo, who left a village on the base paths this weekend against the Washington Nationals, has got to show up. Vientos, some of the bottom of the lineup, because, like, I mean, we could start with the stars and Lindor and Alonso and Soto. It goes without saying they have to show up. I kind of expect them to show up, right? Pete Alonso went on a four-game homer streak. Soto's been great since the beginning of August in every way, shape, and form, whether it's base running, maybe outside of fielding, but they've, with a big error, his first of the season, but he's been great, and Lindor is kind of turning it on with some big home runs, but we know how he's got to get going. They've got to be cleaner defensively. They've got to play the best six games of the season. Is this team up for that? Do you have any faith that this team can play the best six games of the year to secure themselves not only a playoff spot, but quite honestly, like, and again, we'll have time for it. If they don't make the playoffs, you're talking about shaking up the organization, shaking up this team. Now, I know Stearns isn't going anywhere, and I doubt very much the manager is going anywhere. But we can scream till we're blue in the face that Pete has to come back. That's a tough argument for me. Pete Alonso has to come back? Why does Pete Alonso have to come back? Why do you want to bring back this same team where last year is the odd man out? Last year is the aberration. Last year is the one thing's not like the other. This team has been doing this for years. This team with Jeff McNeil, this team with Brandon Nimmo, this team with Pete Alonso. This team has shown up small in the biggest of moments for years now. Even in the 101 win year a couple years ago, faded down the stretch, blew the division to Atlanta, and then couldn't get out of the wild card round. After 101 wins and leading the division for practically the entire season. This has been what this team has done. Last year is the exception. If they don't make the playoffs, how can you scream Pete Alonso has to be back? Not to put the blame on him, because certainly it's not his fault, but don't things have to change? How can you bring back the same squad that is going to oversee arguably, like, maybe not the biggest collapse because it's been on such a slow, steady pace. And when you talk collapse, you kind of think of the 07 Mets. You think of what the Tigers are doing right now. They were up 12 games at the start of the month. Like, that's a collapse. This has been a slow, steady, we're not very good for 3 months. So I don't want to call it necessarily a collapse, but a failing of the highest order. With the payroll they have, with the playoff format that exists, to not be one of the best six teams in the National League after going to the NLCS last year and adding Juan Soto? And having all this talk about changing the dynamics of this city and big team in town and the future is so bright and every Met fan, you know, sending me a million things about the Yankee farm system and how Juan Soto chose the Mets because he sees what everybody sees, that the Mets are the better spot with the brighter future and the smarter executive and the richer owner and everything like that in that first year to have one of the biggest fails in baseball history. That's what we're talking about. Nobody was hurt. Right, the 2023 Yankees missed the postseason. Judge missed half the year. Not to make an excuse, they still should have went to the playoffs, and it was a miserable roster. And I was calling for changes. But Pete Alonso's going to play 150 games. Juan Soto's going to play 160 games. Lindor's going to play 150 games. These guys weren't hurt. Yeah, they lost some bullpen pieces. They were in the playoffs every day of the season since April 5th. They had the best record in baseball. They had a 5-game lead in their division. This can't happen. This can't happen. How do they avoid this from happening? How do they play the best 5 games, 6 games of their entire season to make sure they don't pull off what is going to shake the organization? Or at least it should. 888-808-1019. So we'll talk a little Mets next. We'll do a little bit of baseball. As the Yankees start a 6-game process against a team that they're capable of beating, obviously, in the Chicago White Sox before finishing the season against Baltimore. And Toronto is playing the Boston Red Sox. And here's an honest question. Who do you root for?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.